Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
Mary Tyler Moore, the actress from the Dick Van Dyke Show and later the Mary Tyler Moore Show, has died. She was pronounced dead at a hospital in Connecticut.
Mary Tyler Moore was the sweetheart of American television.
She was a queen. Every man fell in love with her.
She starred in two of the most successful TV shows of all time, while capturing the boundary-pushing spirit of the era.
She really paved the way for female characters that were empowered.
She held out a beacon of light of what women could accomplish.
But behind the iconic smile was a life beset by tragedy, illness, and addiction.
She went through some things that most people had no idea about.
On January 25th, 2017, Mary Tyler Moore died at Greenwich Hospital in Connecticut at the age of 80 of a cardiac arrest.
Mary spent her final years away from the public eye, and this reclusive lifestyle sparked rumor and speculation about the state of her health. I'm going to piece together the facts about Mary's final years in order to find out exactly what triggered her fatal cardiac arrest.
World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is the chief medical examiner in one of America's biggest cities. He's performed thousands of autopsies to investigate and reveal the cause of death.
Mary Tyler Moore's death certificate lists cardiac arrest as the cause of her death. But this doesn't paint the whole picture. No autopsy was carried out, so I'm going to have to examine eyewitness reports as well as Mary's own record of her health to understand exactly why she died.
April 5th, 2013, Los Angeles. At the CBS television studios, Mary is receiving final makeup touches before she's due on set. She's making a guest appearance on the hit sitcom Hot in Cleveland. The show stars Betty White, who made her name on the Mary Tyler Moore Show back in the 1970s.
Good to see you.
Today's reunion is extra special. It's the first time all the actresses from Mary's show will perform together since the final episode aired 36 years ago. Along with Betty and Mary, Valerie Harper, Georgia Engel, and Cloris Leachman all make an appearance.
Laura Redmond, personal trainer and friend.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show meant the world to Mary, and it was a great group of people that really cared about each other.
Mary is accompanied by her husband, Dr. Robert Levine. After two unsuccessful marriages, she has now been happily married to Robert for 30 years.
Their marriage was quite wonderful. He was exactly what she needed in her life at that point.
Despite the celebratory atmosphere, it's rumored that Mary, now 76, can no longer walk without assistance, and the reunion scene has been written to accommodate her condition.
Trevor Silverman, writer on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
What they did was they had Mary seated because it was hard for her to walk.
Look at us back together.
It will be Mary's final television performance. In less than 4 years, she will be dead.
In her final television performance, Mary comes across as a youthful and healthy 76-year-old, and any physical problem is not immediately apparent.
That's right. You were the tramp.
Difficulty walking could be the temporary result of an accident or an illness, or it could be a symptom of a long-lasting debilitating condition. I need to look further into her medical history to find out.
Mary Tyler Moore was born on December 29, 1936, in Brooklyn, New York, to a family who were well-educated, but unaffectionate toward their daughter.
She had one of the most gut-wrenching, painful, difficult childhoods I had ever learned about.
Ed Asner, co-star, The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Mary, would you cut it out?
She had a father who was not free with his love, so she probably had to fight to try to gain his love. Her mother was an alcoholic. It was not a happy family.
Although she eventually had a brother and sister, they were much younger than Mary. And for the most part, it was a lonely childhood. However, Mary found happiness in the song and dance routines of her silver screen idols, Fred Astaire and Judy Garland. And though a family move to Los Angeles brought Mary to Hollywood's doorstep, her dreams of becoming a performer were not supported by her parents.
There was no one paying attention to what she needed.
As soon as she was old enough to leave her family, she took the only route available for a girl in the 1950s. She got married at the age of 18 to local boy Richard Meeker.
Mark Shapiro, biographer.
He was older than she was. He had a legitimate job. He was bringing in good money.
But times were changing, and Mary was determined to make her own living. Her first television job was a commercial for Hot Point.
I'm Happy Hot Point.
By the time she was 20, she'd had a son. But family life didn't stop her ambition to be an actor. And within 3 years of Richie's birth, Mary's determination paid off. She landed a succession of supporting TV roles. While her marriage fell apart, she found her next family when she got her big break in a new TV comedy show. She landed the role of the sassy modern wife of Dick Van Dyke.
It became a surrogate family for Mary, certainly after the family she was born into.
If the multi-award-winning Dick Van Dyke show captured the spirit of the 60s, her next show would be a groundbreaking smash hit that changed the rules for women on television.
We went on the air in 1970. Things happened on the show that couldn't have been written 10 years before.
The sitcom followed the exploits of Mary's unmarried, independent career woman.
Hello, hello.
Working in a TV newsroom.
Hello.
I'm supposed to see a Mr. Grant about a secretarial job?
It's been filled.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show was the first time that we all realized as women that you can be a success in the working world, that you can have your own voice.
What religion are you?
Mr. Grant, I don't quite know how to say this, but you're not allowed to ask that when someone's applying for a job. It's against the law.
Want to call a cop?
First script was dynamite. The best script I had seen in L.A.
Tell you what, I'll try you out for a couple of weeks, see if it works out. If I don't like you, I'll fire you.
Right, right.
You don't like me? I'll fire you.
That certainly seems fair.
By the time The Mary Tyler Moore Show was over, it was the most decorated TV series of all time, with 29 Emmys. And Mary found herself occupying a special place in the hearts of the American public.
When you realize what she accomplished and where she came from, it's stunning.
Mary's difficult childhood is of particular interest to me, specifically her mother's drinking.
Mary's mother was an alcoholic before Mary was born.
Drinking heavily while pregnant can result in the baby being born with a condition known as fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, which is something Mary appeared to believe she had been affected by. And looking at Mary's face, there are certain features which could be consistent with FASD. It's characterized by a thin upper lip, low nasal bridge, and a flat philtrum, the area between the nose and the lip.
It looks like her features were not even, like around the eyes and the nose, and Mary attributed that to the fact that her mother was drinking while she was pregnant.
The condition could result in severe mental abnormalities, but there's no evidence that Mary grew up suffering from these. However, drinking through pregnancy can also result in babies being born with heart defects, such as a ventricular septal defect, an abnormality affecting the wall dividing the left and right ventricles of the heart. So I have to wonder if her mother's drinking left Mary with a condition which ultimately played a role in her death.
I think Mary's childhood shaped her as all of our childhoods shape us. Everything about her upbringing was difficult, and I think that the price tag of that is something that you have to work with your whole life.
Without an autopsy, I can't determine the physical effects her mother's drinking had on Mary's heart. But I can see a clear connection to Mary's own relationship with alcohol.
Early on, the alcoholism was one of those best-kept Hollywood secrets, which means everybody knew Mary was drinking. She hid it very well.
I think she kept a lot to herself. Sometimes if people drink, they don't want everybody to know about it, and so they do it alone.
Who wants to admit that they're not in control of themselves?
My form was to drink every night, never during the day, but by God, at 5:30 or 6, that was time for me to have my drinks. And I began over a period of time to drink so much that I couldn't even remember what had happened the night before.
Regularly drinking too much alcohol causes high blood pressure. Over time, this puts strain on the heart muscle and can lead to cardiovascular disease, which increases your risk of heart attack and stroke. But there might also be a more immediate effect of Mary's drinking on her health.
May 24th, 2013, Greenwich, Connecticut. 4 years before Mary's death. It's been a month since Mary's TV reunion.
Robert!
And she continues to have problems walking. Mary's fallen, and her husband, Robert, calls 911. It's the second time in the past few months that paramedics have come to Mary's aid.
I have a series of incident reports describing calls made from Mary's house to emergency services. She fell on a number of separate occasions in the years leading up to her death. Evidently, Mary was vulnerable to having a serious accident. I wonder if these falls were a result of her alcoholism, and if ultimately her drinking played a role in her death.
You know, we're in a time right now where technology has shown how far we've truly come. I mean, you can order a pizza from your phone. You can use your laptop to connect with family and friends. It's really impressive how easily we're able to stay connected in so many different ways with all of the different advancements. But one thing has been the same, coloring our hair. The options are either go to a traditional salon, spend lots of time and money, or just grab a box of hair color at the drugstore, which you never quite know what color you're going to get. It almost always dries out my hair. It's just not the best option. But now there's a new way, Madison Reed. It took a strong woman to shake up the hair coloring world, and Amy Arrett did just that with Madison Reed, the company she named after her daughter, which is really awesome. And if you're thinking, okay, but how do I match my color? Don't worry, Madison Reed gives you all the tools you need so you can color with confidence. Get ammonia-free, multidimensional hair color delivered right to your door, starting at $22. Visit madison-reed.com. That's madison-reed.com. And now, Autopsy listeners can get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code LASTHOURS. That's code LASTHOURS.
On January 25th, 2017, Mary Tyler Moore died at Greenwich Hospital in Connecticut of a cardiac arrest. Now, world-renowned pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is examining her medical history to determine what triggered her fatal heart failure.
So far, I've discovered that Mary fought a private battle with alcohol addiction, which may have had an effect on her heart. But I wonder if her drinking could also be the reason behind a number of falls she suffered towards the end of her life.
June 2013, Greenwich, Connecticut. 2 weeks after her fall, Mary is back from the hospital. Although she suffered a damaged hip, she's on the road to recovery. But it's one of a number of falls that have caused her husband, Robert, to call for help.
The incident report does not provide a conclusive explanation for Mary's falls, but there is no mention of alcohol. So I can conclude Mary had not been drinking before she fell. However, there's something mentioned in subsequent reports that could be crucial to my investigation. Mary had diabetes.
Mary was unaware she had the condition until she was 33. By 1969, she was married to TV magnate Grant Tinker, and her career was flying.
They were literally the power couple for the duration of their marriage. They formed MTM Enterprises. The Mary Tyler Moore Show was the first show under that banner, and they went on to executive produce a number of other successful shows.
But tragically, their family life couldn't mirror the success of their business. When Mary got pregnant, it ended in a miscarriage. And while she was still reeling from the trauma, doctors delivered more life-changing news. Her blood sugar was dangerously high.
She had no idea until she was told, "Oh my Lord, you are diabetic."
Is that why my baby died?
She kind of didn't believe it, and she kind of rebelled against it. She said, because the next day she just ate everything. Pies, cakes, hell with you.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
I think this was a manifestation of not only her anger at this happening, but the kind of the sense of injustice, and also probably the realization that maybe I can't control things as much as I thought I could. And if that's the case, if I can't control things, then I'm going to enjoy the donut.
I can see Mary had type 1 diabetes. Unlike type 2 diabetes, which is often lifestyle related, the precise cause of type 1 is unknown. However, we do know that it's an autoimmune disorder, which means it's a condition where the immune system attacks healthy tissue. In this case, it attacks your pancreas, preventing the production of a hormone called insulin. Insulin is essential for breaking down sugar or glucose so the body can convert it to energy. But without insulin, glucose builds up in the blood, and the body, lacking the necessary fuel to function, can fall into a diabetic coma. If untreated, this can lead to permanent brain damage and fatal cardiac arrest. Type 1 diabetes is incurable, so living with the dangers of this disease is something Mary would have faced on a daily basis.
1970, Los Angeles. At a Monday morning production meeting for the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Mary arrived feeling a little lightheaded.
She would occasionally have bouts of blurred vision, equilibrium problems. She would slur her words.
Suddenly, her ability to speak faltered. To the confusion of the cast, Mary burst into tears.
We all heard her screaming in some sort of pain. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
The show's producer realized she was having a hypoglycemic attack and immediately gave her orange juice to stop her falling unconscious.
Everybody was aware of her condition, and they would have broken each other's legs to be the first to offer their lives in defense of her.
Diabetics are at constant risk of their blood sugar being either too low, which is called hypoglycemia, or being too high, hyperglycemia. Mary would have had to manage her condition by taking daily injections of insulin to regulate her blood sugar. And yet, there's indication that Mary was careless with her condition. Her alcohol addiction became worse in the years following her diagnosis.
By her own admission, Mary's drinking became a problem, as her marriage to Grant Tinker grew increasingly volatile.
Sometimes they would have really nasty arguments, a lot of it fueled by alcohol.
Don't wait up.
Hey, Grant. Hey!
Excessive alcohol consumption can have dire consequences for a diabetic. Although the sugar in alcoholic drinks may temporarily raise the level of blood sugar, large amounts of alcohol inhibits the liver from releasing glucose. This increases the chances of low blood sugar, leading to hypoglycemic shock.
And it wasn't just Mary's collapsing marriage that drove her to drink. In 1980, Mary starred in Robert Redford's movie Ordinary People, a critically acclaimed departure into serious drama that earned her an Oscar nomination. But the story of a mother grieving over the death of her son would be tragically echoed in Mary's real life.
As she got older and was doing better in her work, there always seemed to be something that would come around and kind of knock her down.
Richie, the son from her first marriage, had spent much of his childhood with his father, away from the spotlight of his mom's Hollywood life.
She was feeling massive amounts of guilt during this period. She never felt quite fulfilled as a mother or that she had given it her best shot.
By October 1980, Mary was working hard to reconcile her relationship with 24-year-old Richie. But the relationship came to an abrupt and shocking end.
Richie was an avid gun person. And one night while he was cleaning one of his guns, the gun went off and shot him and killed him.
Okay, thank you.
There was some speculation early on that it had been a suicide, which was quickly proven wrong. It was the nature of the gun and the fact that it had a hair trigger.
When someone goes through an accident like that and it ends up in a fatality, it is life-changing, earth-shattering, incomparable to imagine what it would be like to get through that.
As a young child growing up, there would have been a normalization of the drinking behavior that Mary would have seen with her mom. So it's actually not a surprise that she falls into that pattern. When something bad happens, this is how you escape.
It wasn't until Mary's marriage to Dr. Robert Levine that she recognized her drinking had become a problem.
Robert was the person that really pointed out to her the trouble that alcohol had become. He was the one that said, this has got to stop. You cannot keep drinking.
In 1984, Mary checked herself into the newly opened Betty Ford Rehabilitation Center.
I can see Mary quit drinking when she was 47, over 30 years before her death. So I don't believe alcohol was the direct cause of her death.
But Dr. Hunter has found evidence of another habit which can have a devastating effect on the heart.
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
Television icon Mary Tyler Moore died at Greenwich Hospital in Connecticut on January 25, 2017, after a lifetime coping with family tragedy and long-term illness. Now, world-renowned pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is exploring the events leading up to her death.
So far, I've discounted alcohol as being directly linked to Mary's death. And although she lived with the incurable diabetes, it's a condition she appeared to manage well towards the end of her life. So I wonder if there was something else that triggered Mary's fatal cardiac arrest.
August 22nd, 2013, Greenwich, Connecticut. Mary's husband, Robert, makes another 911 call. Mary is in need of medical attention once again. This time, the 76-year-old is reported as conscious, but having difficulty breathing.
There's no indication from the report that Mary required hospital treatment. So whatever the problem was, it was likely dealt with at the scene. But I wonder if the breathing difficulty could be related to another harmful habit that Mary struggled with. Smoking.
Well, you seem happy today.
Well, why shouldn't I be? I have the two things that would make any man happy. A gorgeous wife, and I'm smoking a Kent.
You never saw anybody in Hollywood or in one of these ads who didn't have a cigarette in their hand.
Which do you like the best?
Oh, there's a tough one. You see.
She could be smoking in between takes on the set of the shows, and nobody thought anything of it.
But for filter and taste, Kent satisfies best.
I'll accept that.
By the time she was on the Dick Van Dyke Show and afterwards in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, she was averaging smoking 60 cigarettes a day.
Smoking damages the lungs and can cause respiratory infections and breathing problems. But it also damages the body in other ways. And in Mary's case, I can see it may have caused significant artery damage. Towards the end of her life, Mary admitted she had poor circulation in her legs from progressive damage to her arteries called peripheral artery disease. And smoking is one of the leading causes. Once chemicals from cigarette smoke enter the bloodstream, they damage the blood vessels and increase the risk of atherosclerosis. This is a disease in which a waxy plaque builds up in the arteries, over time narrowing the blood vessels and restricting the blood flow. It's a major cause of heart disease and cardiac arrest. But Mary was more vulnerable to the risk of smoking because of her diabetes.
Mary continued to smoke long after her medical diagnosis.
She seemed oblivious to the fact that she didn't cut back on certain things. Bad things were going to happen to her.
And in 1981, Mary's diabetes began to show signs of serious long-term progression, causing damage to her eyes.
It was subtle. So I think at that point, it was probably just a little signal that the eyesight was going to start to get compromised.
You mentioned diabetes. You have suffered from that since your 20s. And I know that can be a catastrophic affliction. How has it affected you?
I have not been without the problems attendant to diabetes, such as hemorrhages behind the eyes, which, thanks to the laser treatment that's available today, has been able to correct that and prevent blindness, which up until just a few years ago used to strike an enormous amount of diabetics.
I can see Mary had surgery on a condition called diabetic retinopathy. High blood sugar levels from diabetes causes damage to the tiny blood vessels in the retina of the eye. The damaged vessels leak fluid into the eye, blurring vision, and eventually are replaced by new abnormal blood vessels which scar the retina and lead to blindness. Smoking triples the progression of diabetic retinopathy. But Mary's emerging health issues may have actually encouraged her to quit.
By the 80s, she was watching her diet. She was taking the proper medication. By degrees, she was getting exercise, which always helps.
As with her drinking, she stopped smoking around 30 years prior to her death. And over time, artery damage caused by smoking can heal. So I don't think it played a significant role in her cardiac arrest.
Action!
While Mary's movie career never again reached the heights of Ordinary People, she continued to find work in theater and television throughout the 80s and 90s. But monitoring her diabetes became a new priority.
She would prick her finger and then test the blood to figure out whether or not she needed insulin. Every few hours, you're reminded of it. It's not like you can get away from it. And to survive that and to continue to work with that sort of challenge on a daily basis is tricky.
Even with the best management, there are still serious complications that diabetics can develop over time.
Mary was terrified of what could happen with the disease.
At one point, there was a real fear on Mary's part and those around her that she might lose her foot because of diabetes.
As well as poor circulation, Mary also had nerve damage in her feet called peripheral neuropathy. This lack of sensation makes it harder to notice an injury to the foot. And the restricted blood flow to the area affected by peripheral artery disease means the body is less capable of fighting infection. It's a combination of factors that means a simple toe infection is at risk of becoming gangrenous. It's estimated that every 30 seconds, a leg is amputated due to diabetes.
The fact is you take your insulin, and that's enough of a hassle.
Right.
You still are exposed to problems like eyesight and your bad feet
and things
like
I
that.
I came close to losing my vision a couple of years ago. I've almost had to have a toe amputation on two occasions. So it's every day another corner, and you don't know what's around it.
Despite Mary's best efforts to manage her diabetes, the gradual decline of her health made it harder to continue working.
It was obvious every job she had, people were mentally keeping an eye on her for a sign of a problem.
We could see the ravages that were taking place in her physically. Nothing anybody did could minimize the effects the disease was having on her.
December 2014, Greenwich, Connecticut. 2 years before Mary's death. It's Mary's 78th birthday, and her husband Robert throws her a party, inviting a few of Mary's closest friends. But it's reported that Mary is not well. Her eyesight in particular is failing, and she isn't able to walk.
By this time, her vision, I think at that point, legally blind. But it wasn't obvious because somebody, I think it was Robert, would stand in back of her and they would say, this is so-and-so coming up with her husband. She really didn't want pity. She just wanted to be charming and gracious.
Happy birthday to you.
Mary Tyler Moore, in her later years, was not the Mary Tyler Moore she had wanted to be. She had largely become a recluse. People weren't seeing her around like they used to.
Mary's diabetes accounts for many of the physical problems she was struggling with in her later years. Her falls were likely caused by her failing eyesight and her failing feet. Her breathing difficulties would also be a problem associated with her high blood sugar levels. But I found evidence that Mary may have been living with another life-threatening condition, completely unrelated to her diabetes.
Mary Tyler Moore, one of the giants of television, died on January 25th, 2017, at the age of 80. Now, world-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating what caused her fatal cardiac arrest.
Mary battled with a life-threatening condition, type 1 diabetes, for much of her adult life. It carries an increased risk of death from heart disease and stroke. And in Mary's case, along with smoking, did extensive damage to her arteries.
After struggling to come to terms with her illness, Mary became a prominent spokesperson for diabetes.
A lot of people have the incorrect notion that insulin is the cure. Insulin is merely the method by which we live day to day.
She felt it was important to make it public and to let people know that you can be diabetic and still have a career and still have, you know, a full life. It was very important for her to share that.
But as well as displaying significant physical problems due to her diabetes, Mary had other symptoms that could point to a separate condition.
January 2015, Greenwich, Connecticut. Mary rarely leaves her house, and friends are reportedly concerned for her mental health. Eyewitnesses describe her as increasingly confused and out of touch with reality.
Looking at Mary's medical history, I can see that Mary had suffered from another condition which produces these symptoms, a brain tumor. Mary had a non-cancerous tumor of the membrane surrounding the brain called a meningioma. This discovery is significant to my investigation as the pressure on the brain from a tumor can cause herniation, a bulging of the brain's membrane. This results in serious breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure problems, which can lead to cardiac arrest.
In 2011, Mary underwent a 4-hour surgical procedure to have the tumor removed. It was later reported that the operation was a success, and she recovered well from the ordeal.
Although her surgery was successful, there is a significant chance of a meningioma returning, and I wonder if this is ultimately what caused her death.
In the months before her death, Mary is reportedly unable to move without assistance and is non-communicative.
In her final years, a few people actually came to the house to see her in Connecticut.
She spends her time either in bed or in a wheelchair and has round-the-clock care.
It was hard to picture that because one of the things that you always associated with Mary was she bounces back and nothing's going to get her down.
Towards the end of her life, the cumulative effects of Mary's diabetes, her blindness, and her peripheral artery disease rendered Mary severely disabled.
It is a limited timeline. And when you have the disease and you have it really strongly, as she did, the type 1 diabetes, it's not going to be a good ending, and it's not going to be an easy ending physically. So it was very heartbreaking to see what that disease actually really does to someone.
Yeah, she's in here.
January 19th, 2017. 7 days before her death, Mary has caught pneumonia. For someone in her condition, it's a serious illness, and she's taken to Greenwich Hospital.
Pneumonia is a common lung infection, and it's normally treated with antibiotics. But for Mary, it was a potential killer. A lifetime of damage to her body caused by high blood sugar levels left her immune system compromised. And she was at risk of being unable to fight the disease.
January 21st, 4 days before her death. Mary's lung infection is so bad, it's reported that she cannot breathe without the assistance of a ventilator.
When a pneumonia infection is very severe, the inside of the lungs' air sacs fill with pus, and this makes it hard for oxygen to get into the body. In Mary's case, it created a further problem. According to reports, she had hypoxia, which means oxygen was not getting delivered from her lungs to the rest of her body. Consequently, her cells were starved of oxygen. Without oxygen, cells start to die, and the condition can become fatal.
January 23rd, 2 days before Mary's death. It's reported that her chances of returning to health are so remote that Robert has called in close friends and family to pay a visit and to say their goodbyes.
It was a real emotional day. She was on life support. Those close to Mary were summoned to her bedside. People were drifting out in and out that day.
I knew she wasn't doing well, but I heard from a close friend of mine that her days were limited.
January 24th, 2017. A week after she was admitted to the hospital, the doctors and Mary's family agree that she is not going to overcome her illness. 2:15 p.m. on January 25th, 2017, Mary is pronounced dead.
Sad news. Mary Tyler Moore, the actress from the Dick Van Dyke Show and later the Mary Tyler Moore Show, has died. She was pronounced dead at a hospital in Connecticut, surrounded by her family after an illness.
When the world lost Mary Tyler Moore, everybody mourned. It was a universal loss. And for me, it was a personal loss.
It always comes out in cliches because it's too deep and too profound for you to even find the words for it.
A giant had left the stage.
The current life expectancy for a woman with type 1 diabetes is around 68 years, yet Mary lived until she was 80. She survived against all odds for years and continued to fight even as she lost her sight, her mobility, and survived a brain tumor. The death certificate states that a cardiopulmonary arrest caused by pneumonia was responsible, and diabetes undoubtedly played a role in this. But while it's evident that her brain tumor did not return, her unusual behavior in the years before her death suggests that there was more going on than just her diabetes. And I believe her mental condition played a significant role in her death.
Mary Tyler Moore died at a hospital in Connecticut today in the company of friends and her husband of 33 years. She was 80 years old.
Mary died from a cardiac arrest after contracting a pneumonia. But the death certificate specifies it as aspiration pneumonia. This means that her lung infection was acquired because food or saliva was breathed into the lungs instead of swallowed into the stomach. And it makes me question the reason for Mary's spells of confusion in those final years, because aspiration pneumonia is a particular threat to people with dementia.
January 19th, 2014, Greenwich, Connecticut. 3 years before Mary's death. Mary made a call to 911. But not to report a medical emergency. She reported her husband Robert to the police, claiming they had a fight, and Robert was refusing to leave.
Mary made a number of calls to the local police department regarding arguments she had been having with her husband.
By the time the police arrived, Mary had calmed down. The call was made in a state of panic and confusion.
I'm sorry. What did
she want to take
done?
A car.
I can see from the police reports that this was not the only emergency call Mary made in a state of confusion.
Mary was suffering degrees of dementia besides the physical ailments and would occasionally talk on nonsensically because of the illness.
Dementia is a group of related symptoms associated with a decline in the brain's ability to function. It's often characterized by memory loss and problems with mental sharpness. There are many causes of dementia, the most common being Alzheimer's disease. People with type 1 diabetes could be up to 83% more likely to develop dementia as they age. Aside from memory loss, people with dementia often suffer from a complication called dysphagia, which is a difficulty swallowing food. Essentially, they forget how to swallow. And among patients with dysphagia caused by dementia, the most common cause of death is aspiration pneumonia. I believe Mary contracted her pneumonia because she was struggling to eat. It was then very difficult for her to fight the infection. By the age of 80, her diabetes would have massively compromised her immune system. Combined with the poor circulation from her artery disease, the infection proved too much for her. And her life support would have been switched off in the knowledge that she no longer had the strength to get better. But the strength and stamina Mary showed in the face of her condition, and to cope with the challenges of her illness until the age of 80, is quite remarkable.
I think the diabetes and then the way she carried on through it was so symbolic of who she was. That is what separates her from most people. You know, she would push through something, but she would also know that I'm going to do this. I mean, she just had like a will of steel.
What the world lost when Mary Tyler Moore passed was that image of you can do whatever you want if you want it bad enough. She'd inspired millions of women to get out there and deal with life in a way that was different from what it had been.
I think that she would like to be remembered as someone who developed into the kind of woman who finally was able to love and be loved.
She was a meteor and blazed across the heavens all too briefly.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.